All right, if you have your Bible, we're gonna be kind of all over the place, but we'll start out in Romans 3. So if you want to get your Bible and turn there, as you go there, we are walking through a series right now called the Solas, which is where we're discussing these five major doctrines that are in the Scriptures that were sort of rediscovered about 500 years ago in the church. Again, the reformers, they didn't make these things up. These things were always in the Scriptures, and they rediscovered them, and they called the church back to these things, and we think we should be calling ourselves back to these things on a regular basis, and so that's why we're kind of walking through this. First week, we talked about the five solas are Scripture alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, for God's glory alone. And so we've talked about Scripture alone, that the Bible is the ultimate authority in our lives. And so we should see that, and we should wholeheartedly give ourselves to that. And particularly when I talk to college students, it's something I usually challenge them with when we talk about authority. Like, you're going to have an authority in your life. Okay, every one of us have authorities that we base our lives on. And for some, that's science. For some, that's culture. For some, that's their own conscience, God forbid. We're all going to have a final authority that we look to and say, this is the standard. And what the Scriptures tell us to do is that the Bible should be that for us. That's why we talk about Scripture alone. It is the final authority in things. And then last week we talked about grace alone, that we're saved not because we of any merit that we have, but because God is gracious. He has decided to love us and adopt us into his family, and we should live in light of that and be thankful for the Lord's grace. This week is through faith alone. Okay, so we're going to be talking about faith and what that is and how God saves us through faith. And I'm going to tell you up front, you're going to have to put your thinking caps on today up front on the first few minutes. I need you to think, okay? So don't check your brain at the door. So many times we walk to church and we just mind-numbingly are part of it, and we don't think about the things that God is calling us to. And today, I need you to think, because I got to explain a few terms that are in the Scriptures, and there's one of the words has a lot of syllables in it. And sometimes at church, when somebody uses a word that has a lot of syllables, we're like, I don't know that. But I need you to understand it today, okay? So grab this piece of paper if you like to fill in blanks. We'll walk through defining this sola fide. They're going to define faith alone. Then we're going to unpack it in the Scriptures, and then we're going to apply it to our lives at the end. Three terms I need to define for you on the front end of this, though. They are faith, justification, and imputation. I know that may be not a word that you use very often, but we'll talk about it because it's really important. Okay, really important that you get this so that you can understand what it means to be saved through faith alone. We've got to understand these terms. First, faith. Faith is simply this. It's faith is trust or dependence on God, on what he has done, on what he has said, that we take God at his word and believe what he has said. That's what it means to have faith in God, that I believe that God is who he says he is and that God will do all that he says he's going to do. That's what it means to have faith. He is who he says he is. I can take him at his word. He has done these things. I can trust him. I can depend on him no matter what. Second word, justification. No, we're gonna have to settle on this one for a second. Justification. It is a legal act of God. So think about the word justification, which is, you know, if you've read the Bible, like if you've read more than four pages in the Bible, you know the word justification is literally everywhere in the New Testament. This idea that God has justified us, it is a legal act that God has done. So when you see the word justification, it should cause you to think about God being a just judge. He is a good father. He is a loving father. He is also a judge. He's the just judge. And every one of us, according to the Bible, at one day will stand before God in judgment. At the final judgment, we're all going to stand before God in judgment. He is a just judge. And justification is this. It is the instantaneous legal act of God in which he, one, thinks of our sins as forgiven and Christ's righteousness belonging to us, and two, declares us to be righteous in his sight. Now, let's get this for a second. Imagine you, a guilty sinner, which is what you are. Every one of us. Guilty sinners, if you didn't know that already, you are. You have broken God's commandments, you've broken God's law, and you have earned God's judgment because of your sin. What justification is when we stand before God in judgment. He is a just and holy, righteous God and judge. And we stand before him in judgment, and God says, you're innocent. You're not guilty anymore. You're the sin that you have committed, the wrath that is owed to you because of your guiltiness, you are not guilty of that anymore. You are innocent of those things. And get this, it's not just that you're pardoned. You're innocent. He declares you innocent, even though you're guilty. It is, you've heard this definition before if you've been in church at all. He looks at you and declares you innocent just as if I'd never sinned. That's how innocent you are before the Father. He has not just pardoned you. He has declared this just judge, this gracious God has looked at you in your sin, right? In your sin. He looked at you and said, not guilty. Not just not guilty, innocent. Okay? Innocent of all wrongdoings. How? Because he has given you Jesus' righteousness. He has imputed, again, that's another word you don't use very often, right? He has imputed Christ's righteousness on you. Last definition is this. To impute something is to think of as belonging to someone, therefore to cause it to belong to that person. How can a just God look at a guilty sinner and say innocent? Here's how. He gives you Jesus' righteousness. He imputes Jesus' righteousness to you. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, God made him for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's what Martin Luther called the great exchange. God gives us Jesus' righteousness and he takes on, Jesus takes on our sin. Jesus takes on our sin, gives us his righteousness. He imparts or he imputes Jesus' righteousness to us. That is how we are justified. It's how God gives justification. He declares us to be innocent of our sins because he has given us Jesus' righteousness. And now we're innocent. Why are we innocent? Because Jesus is innocent. Why are we declared righteous? Not because we're righteous, because Jesus is righteous and we have Jesus' righteousness. We have Jesus' innocence. We're guilty. God is just and he has placed on Jesus the iniquity of us all and given us who will trust Jesus his righteousness. And how does he do that? He does that by faith alone. We're justified. We're declared to be innocent and righteous by faith alone. Meaning not by what we do. It is not by going to church, being baptized, giving money, doing good works, following the law that we are declared innocent of our sins. We are only declared innocent and forgiven because Jesus has taken on the wrath of God for us and God has freely and graciously imputed to us, given to us a righteousness that wasn't ours. It was Jesus's. He gives it to us. And how does he do that? By faith alone. Okay, here's the definition of by faith alone. The gift of spiritual life from the dead and justification. Again, that word means we've been declared to be innocent. God is being 100% for us, not against us. It is received through faith alone. Only by trusting and depending on God can we be justified. Good works do not earn my forgiveness. They are proof or evidence of my faith in Jesus, but they do not earn me forgiveness. I want to unpack this. I want to unpack what the scriptures say about this great doctrine that we have got to believe and rest in ourselves. Starting in Romans 3, we'll go to Romans 4, we'll go a few places, and then we'll apply it. Let's unpack what it means to be justified by faith alone. Romans 3 says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, though the law and the prophets bear witness to it. This righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are, there's that word, justified, okay? Justified, declared innocent. Guilty sinners declared to be innocent are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation, meaning he died in our place by his blood to be received how? By faith. Justified, declared innocent by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God put forth as a propitiation, meaning he died for you, and that is received one way, trusting him. That's how it's received. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had looked over our former sins. And it's to show his righteousness at the present time that he might be just. And he does what he says. He keeps his word. And the justifier, the one who makes us innocent of who? Of the one who has faith in Jesus. Goes on and says, I think it's really, we usually stop there when we talk about that because that's such good news. But for this sermon, I think we need to read the next two verses. It says, so then, what becomes of our boasting? What becomes of our boasting in ourselves? It's excluded, meaning it should stop. It should humble you. This should humble. We talked about grace should make me humble last week. It should. There's no room for being arrogant. And understanding grace, those two things shouldn't go together. Same thing with this, same thing with faith. Faith, the fact that God has declared us to be righteous because he's given us Jesus' righteousness, it should not cause you to be boastful as a Christian. It should, faith, grace and faith should exclude boasting in you and in me. It should go away. By what kind of law? By the law of works? No, not by the law, but by the law of faith. If we hold that, get this in case you were wondering what he was saying. We hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. That's how we're justified. What does it mean to be justified? It means to be declared to be innocent. I'm going to say that about 500 times today. So you just pound that into your brain. Justified, declared innocent. I meant to mention this as well in the definition. It is the instantaneous act of God declaring that we're innocent. Meaning that there's no such thing as progressive justification. We go from being in the kingdom of darkness to being in the kingdom of his beloved son like that. It's an instantaneous act where God says, not guilty, innocent. Innocent of your sins by faith. Now, sanctification, another big word which means becoming more like Jesus, that's a lifelong thing, right? We're always hopefully becoming more like Jesus. Justification, instantaneous act, where we are declared to be innocent. Huge point. Romans 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For it was Abraham, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted or credited to him as righteousness. Now, the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted to him as righteousness. You can imagine if you went to work all week and you worked 65 hours this week. And your boss came to you and paid you on Friday and said, you're welcome. I got a gift for you. I want to give you a gift. It's a paycheck. You would say, that's not a gift. I earned that paycheck. I got here early. I stayed here late. Worked my butt off. Give me my money. Right? Your boss doesn't say, I have a gift for you. It's the paycheck. No, that paycheck is not a gift. That's earned. That's earned. That's what Paul's arguing here in Romans, that God's salvation is not earned. You can't say that it's a gift if you earn it. You can't say that salvation is a gift from God, not a result of work, so that no man can boast, if I get it by doing good things. If it's me keeping the law and doing the right things that earns God's favor, then that's not a gift. That's a wage. Right? That makes sense? I've earned it. God owed me that. I did what you said, therefore you owe me. It's not a gift. It's a way. And look, we think that way sometimes, right? As Christians, we can drift into that. God, I was good. I didn't do this. I didn't see this. I wanted to listen to that, but I didn't. Right? I didn't go to that party. I didn't sleep with that girl. You owe me. Wrong. No. No, 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 no. You gotta be careful with that. Salvation is certainly not that. That's what he's arguing here. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him, it was credited to him as if he were righteous. It says, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as due. The one who does not work but believes, it is him who justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted to him as righteousness. Galatians 2. Yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but how? Through faith, justified, declared innocent. How? By faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. You sense a theme here? How did the church lose this for hundreds and hundreds of years? Quit teaching the scriptures. You quit teaching the scriptures, it'll cause you to drift away. Us too. We'll drift away too. We stop teaching the scriptures. We stop reading the Bible. We got to be, Hebrews 2:1, got to pay careful attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. Because you can't read the Bible and think that you're justified, you're declared innocent before God any other way except by faith. Okay, you can't do it. It's all over the scriptures. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been declared innocent before God, how? By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In Ephesians 2. By grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It sneaks in on us, though, guys. It's a sneaks in. It sneaks into the church. And if we aren't careful, we can lose justification by faith alone to a myriad of things. Any kind of a litmus test you put on something or somebody other than faith is wrong. Whether it's baptism, whether it's membership, confirmation, a spiritual gift. You know, I mean, you hear these things. You hear these things. Well, if you've never spoken in tongues, then you're not a Christian. You ever heard that? There's churches that teach it. Big churches that teach it. You ever been baptized? If you haven't been baptized, then you're really not in the family. You're not really a Christian. Well, those things will sneak into the church. You got to be really careful. You got to be really careful. You hear those things, nope, no, wrong. That's wrong. How do I know that's wrong? Because of this, right? Because of what the Bible says. It is by faith alone that we are justified, not by works of the law. By works of the law, no one will be justified. By doing good things, nobody's going to be justified. By doing spiritual things, no one's going to be justified. How are we justified? How are we declared innocent before God? By faith alone. By trusting that a just God has given me Jesus' righteousness and taken my sin. And if I will just trust in him, I'm declared righteous adopted into his family, forgiven of my sins, and given eternal life. Get this point, and we'll move on. I make sure we hold this tension. We are saved by faith alone. And we can also say that saving faith is never alone. It is always accompanied by good works. Always. At varying levels, it's always accompanied by good works. Works confirm faith. They confirm it. They do not make it. And here's the goal. Hopefully, the longer I walk with Jesus and the more I become like him, the more my life will be filled with good works. Someone that's been a follower of Jesus for 5 minutes, God's going to produce good work in them. Hopefully, the longer I walk with him, the more good work he produces in me, right? So we don't want to put some kind of a litmus test on how many good works are you doing, therefore, are you in or out? No. No, it's by faith alone that we're saved. That faith, it's never alone. It always produces good works. And depending on where we are in walking with Jesus, it's producing more and more and more and more good works, so that hopefully Philippians 1:6 will come to pass in me, that he who began this good work in me will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's always working on me to make me what I ought to be, right? Always. Producing more and more and more good work in me. It's never alone. Salvation is by faith alone, but faith is never alone. It's always accompanied by good works. We got to be careful, though, to make sure we remember always that works are confirming our faith. They do not make us Christians. So, all that said, I feel like I've been yelling at you a lot today. How should we apply that to our lives? There's three things that we should do to apply this to our lives. Number one is this: rest in the finished work of Christ on our behalf. It'd be really weird if I were like, salvation is by faith alone, so here's what you should do. Doesn't work like that. You should rest. That's what you should do. You should rest. You should put your faith in Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never trusted Christ, if you've never been imputed the righteousness of Christ by faith and declared thus to be innocent of your sins, you should trust Jesus today. Now is the appropriate time. Today is the day of salvation. You should say, I need to quit trusting in myself and in religious works and in trying to be a good person. And I should trust in Jesus, who has given me his right, who will give me his righteousness if I'll put my faith in him. And then when you do that, take a deep breath and rest. Rest in a God who is for you, eternally for you, 100% eternally for you, and never against you, ever, because of Jesus. Rest in that. And as you rest in that, get up and walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have received. That line in Ephesians 4, I want to read this. It's a line in Ephesians 4, but to get that, you got to really read the end of Ephesians 3, because you know this, but when Paul wrote these letters in the New Testament, he didn't sit down and say, chapter 4, verse 1. Dear Abby, you know, it's not how it went down. It's a letter, right? It's a letter that men later, hundreds of years later, kind of gave street addresses to, just so that you can know where to find stuff. And they did that. But I think to get what he says, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've received, you got to understand what he says right before that, so you can see, man, this is a great calling that we've received. It's a very worthy calling we've received. So it starts in chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in Christ, in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you have received. What he does at the end of chapter 3, he says, it is an amazing calling you've received. You know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that you would understand the riches of the glory that you have in Christ. You would understand that the God who is eternally for you and never against you anymore because of Christ Jesus, he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine according to the power that's at work within us. That glorious calling is one he wants us to walk in. To walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. I needed that one this week. Bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Because there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I think what Paul's trying to tell them here, what I hope we could get, is this is an intrinsically more beautiful salvation that God has given you than I think we even realize. A just judge sat on his just throne and looked at guilty sinners and said, innocent. Why? Because my innocent, holy son has died in your place. It is a beautiful thing that God has justified us, that he has filled us with the Spirit, that he is doing exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And what does he call us to do? Just to walk in a manner worthy of the calling we have received. Meaning this, when I stare intently into the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it should cause me to want to be obedient to him. I shouldn't seek obedience because I'm scared that God is going to give me cancer or a speeding ticket if I do these things. I don't want to walk in obedience out of some kind of a fear-mongering of God. When I see the beauty of the gospel, it should cause me to want to walk in a manner worthy of the calling I've received. I want to follow this guy. Look what he's done. And he loves me, and he's for me. He's never against me. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than I could ever ask or imagine. Of course. Of course I want to be obedient to him. Of course I want to follow him. His ways are better than my ways are anyway. So get up, walk toward him in a manner worthy of the calling I've received. And then lastly, I should pray and ask God to increase my faith. Because the solution isn't doing more. The solution is having more faith to trust more. I love the story in Mark 9. Jesus with a man who's struggling with illness in his family. The son is sick with the unclean spirit. He comes to Jesus, and Jesus asks the father this. He says, how long has this been happening to him? And he says, from childhood. He's cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But look at the prayer of this father to Jesus. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This guy's at a low point, right? I mean, Jesus, if you can do something, would you please do something? Could you please help us? I'm just tired of seeing our son struggle with this unclean spirit, throwing him into the fire, throwing him into water, trying to destroy him. If there's anything you can do, would you do it? And Jesus says, if you can. All things are possible for the one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. Oh, I believe. Help me believe more. Help me believe more. I believe, Jesus. I believe you can do it. Would you help me believe more? Man, that resonates in me. Because I believe, but help me believe you more. Help me to trust you more. Help me to rest in you more. Oh, for grace to trust him more. And I think that's where a lot of us live. We're like, man, I believe Jesus. I believe these things. I believe the gospel. Sort of. I just need to believe it more. I need to rest more fully. I believe he is the provider of all things. Help me believe that more. I believe he is the one that satisfies my soul. Help me believe that more. Because I believe that, right? I believe those things in here on Sundays. But if you're lonely on a Thursday night, it's hard to remind yourself that Jesus is the satisfier of your soul. So, oh, for grace to trust him more in that moment. When you've been wanting, longing for something, it's easy to believe that Jesus has provided those things in here. Okay, I get that. But it's hard to believe that in that moment of insecurity when the enemy and your own sinfulness is tempting you to believe other things. So, oh, for grace to trust him more in that moment. In those times, in the valleys, okay? Faith alone will produce that in us. So we need to pray this prayer, Lord, I believe, so help my unbelief. Help me believe you. Help me to trust you more. And we're going to take communion here in just a moment, but we would plead with you, if you've never trusted Jesus, trust him today. Trust him for salvation. This instantaneous act. Move yourself. Let the Spirit move you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. How? By faith in Jesus to everyone who believes. Ask God to save you of your sins and Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to justify you by faith alone. And if you have trusted him, again, the invitation here is to remind us to trust him more. That as we do that, he will continue to produce these things in us, and it will cause us to walk in obedience to him because his ways are better than our ways. God, I pray that he would help us see those things. Would you join me as we pray together? So, Father, I thank you for these things. I thank you for a chance to be together here today. Help us. And we believe. Help us believe.